Picture a toddler melting down in the grocery store, screaming no at everything. Now imagine that same rigid, reactive state hardwired into a teenager's brain, or worse, an adult's. This isn't just about tantrums. It's about how our children's brains learn to meet the world with openness or defensiveness, curiosity or fear, resilience or fragility. The difference between these outcomes isn't luck or genetics. It's something parents can actively cultivate through everyday interactions. The concept is deceptively simple. When we hear yes repeatedly, our bodies physically relax. Shoulders drop, breathing deepens, muscles soften. Say no and watch the opposite happen. Tension, guarding, preparation for conflict. This physical response mirrors what happens neurologically. A yes brain creates receptivity. A no brain triggers defensiveness. What makes this revolutionary isn't the observation itself, but recognizing that parents can intentionally shape which state becomes their child's default setting. Your child's brain is a house under construction. The downstairs brain, brainstem, and limbic regions arrives fully furnished at birth, controlling breathing, heart rate, emotions, and fight or flight responses. It's fast, automatic, then reactive. The upstairs brain, the cerebral cortex, responsible for planning, empathy, and self-control, remains under renovation until the mid-20s. You are your child's external upstairs brain until theirs finishes developing. Every interaction either strengthens constructive neural pathways or reinforces destructive ones. Neurons that fire together wire together. Whatever receives attention gets physically built into the brain's architecture. The Human Connectone Project identified brain integration, where different regions work together as a coordinated whole, as the top predictor of positive life outcomes. Not IQ, not socioeconomic status, integration. Parents actively build this integration through daily experiences. From this integrated prefrontal cortex emerge four fundamentals: balance, resilience, insight, and empathy. These aren't abstract virtues, they're measurable neurological capacities that develop cyclically, each reinforcing the others. Balance forms the foundation for meaningful relationships, academic success, and genuine happiness. When children are emotionally dysregulated, they literally cannot learn. Their brains go offline. This isn't defiance, it's neurology. Every person has a window of tolerance, a range within which they can function emotionally. The green zone represents emotional regulation, where feelings are present but manageable. The red zone signals hyperarousal, tantrums, aggression, fight or flight responses. The blue zone indicates hypoarousal, withdrawal, shutdown, dissociation. Beyond these boundaries, children lose access to learning and connection. Free play expands the green zone, building emotional regulation through negotiating playground politics, handling disappointment, and practicing empathy. Nobel Prize-winning physicist Richard Feynman's childhood tinkering in a junkyard built problem-solving abilities that later changed physics. NASA and JPL discovered that candidates with hands-on play backgrounds outperformed those with purely academic excellence. Yet free play is endangered. Jacques Panksepp found that play is such a deep-seated mammalian drive that rats continue playing even with impaired higher brain functions. Stuart Brown discovered that death row murderers commonly experienced both abuse and play deprivation in childhood. Play isn't frivolous, it's essential neural architecture. America's chronic sleep deprivation amplifies anxiety and depression in young people. Parents sacrifice sleep pursuing enrichment activities, yet sleep is brain hygiene. Without it, the brain cannot eliminate neural toxins. Attention, memory, patience, and flexibility all collapse. The Healthy Mind Platter identifies 7 essential mental activities: focus time, play time, connecting time, physical time, time in for reflection, downtime for recharging, and sleep time. Most overscheduled children receive heavy doses of focus time while starving for the other 6 nutrients. Finding balance requires courage when everyone else follows a different path. Ask yourself, Does my child seem frequently tired or anxious? Do they lack unstructured creative time? Are family dinners rare? Am I constantly saying hurry up? Multiple yes answers suggest reconsidering priorities. This isn't about underscheduling. Hours of screen time create different problems. It's about intentional balance that respects individual differences while ensuring children receive all 7 mental nutrients. Balance keeps children in the green zone, but resilience expands it. Resilient children develop a wider window of tolerance, facing adversity with grit and bouncing back faster. When children misbehave, their behavior signals, "I need help building skills here." Focus on skill development rather than simply extinguishing bad behavior. Resilience's foundation is receptivity over reactivity. A reactive child merely responds to stimuli, at the mercy of surroundings. A receptive child observes, assesses, then chooses responses intentionally. This requires push-in and cushion, challenging children beyond comfort zones while providing support when obstacles genuinely exceed capacity. The 4 S's create resilience: feeling safe, protected during distress, seen, deeply known and loved, soothed, calmed when upset, and secure, confident about life. This builds confidence to venture into the unknown with a safe base to return to. Insight: the ability to look within and understand ourselves is essential for emotional intelligence. 6-year-old Alice demonstrated this when facing a move, creating a story about feelings as strings of lights that can become overwhelming. She discovered that sitting quietly and breathing helps when too many light bulbs are on at once. The key is pausing between stimulus and reaction, recognizing body warning signs before emotional eruption. Research shows humans are naturally wired for empathy from infancy. 12-month-old babies attempt to soothe distressed others, and 18-month-old toddlers recognize when someone genuinely needs help, a capability even chimps lack. Empathy has 5 facets, forming the empathy diamond: perspective taking, emotional resonance, cognitive empathy, compassionate empathy, and empathic joy. Developing children's empathy radar helps them notice others' minds through verbal and nonverbal signals. This emotional mind reading enables recognizing when they're dominating conversations or when others need sensitivity. Role-playing, having children take the perspective of someone they're in conflict with, can reveal underlying motivations and build understanding. True empathy extends beyond those we already know. Expanding a child's circle of concern means increasing awareness of people outside immediate connections. Discuss how weather events might affect vulnerable populations, then brainstorm ways to help. Teach that meaningful apologies go beyond "I'm sorry" to acknowledge others' feelings and demonstrate genuine understanding. Consider Eric. Stellar grades, top university graduate, high-paying job. Yet he feels lost, lacking purpose. His parents focused exclusively on external achievements rather than internal experience, leaving him without genuine fulfillment. The ancient Greeks called it eudaimonia, a life full of meaning, connection, and equanimity. Eu means true or good, while daimon refers to our authentic inner spark. Parents can be guardians of their child's unique daimon, helping them develop awareness of this inner essence. External goals, grades, test scores, college acceptances are easier to measure. Internal goals like emotional regulation, curiosity, compassion, and creativity are harder to quantify, yet more essential for fulfillment. Cultivating a yes brain means trusting that balance, resilience, insight, and empathy will serve your child better than any trophy or transcript. A child who knows themselves deeply, who can regulate their emotions, who approaches challenges with curiosity rather than fear, this child will flourish. The question isn't whether your child will face struggles. They will. The question is whether they'll face those struggles from a place of strength, with clear self-knowledge and values as their compass.